I'm Hannah Christensen, reading page 216 through 218 of Jeffrey Eugenides' Middlesex. On Seminole, the birth celebrations were tempered by the prospect of death. Desdemona had found Lefty on our kitchen floor, lying next to his overturned coffee cup. She knelt beside him and pressed an ear to his chest. When she heard no heartbeat, she cried out his name. Her wail echoed off the kitchen's hard surfaces, the toaster, the oven, the refrigerator. Finally, she collapsed on his chest. In the silence that followed, however, Desdemona felt a strange emotion rising inside her. It spread in the space between her panic and grief. It was like a gas inflating her. Soon her eyes snapped open as she recognized the emotion. It was happiness. Tears were running down her face. She was already berating God for taking her husband from her. But on the other side of these proper emotions was an altogether improper relief. The worst had happened. This was it, the worst thing. For the first time in her life, my grandmother had nothing to worry about. Emotions, in my experience, aren't covered by single words. I don't believe in sadness, joy, or regret. Maybe the best proof that the language is patriarchal is that it oversimplifies feeling. I'd like to have at my disposal complicated hybrid emotions, Germanic train car constructions like, say, the happiness that attends disaster, or the disappointment of sleeping with one's fantasy. I'd like to show how intimations of mortality brought on by aging family members connects with the hatred of mirrors that begins in middle age. I'd like to have a word for the sadness inspired by failing restaurants, as well as for the excitement of getting a room with a minibar. I've never had the right words to describe my life, and now that I've entered my story, I need them more than ever. I can't just sit back and watch from a distance anymore. From here on in, everything I'll tell you is colored by the subjective experience of being part of events. Here's where my story splits, divides, undergoes meiosis. Already the world feels heavier now I'm a part of it. I'm talking about bandages and sopped cotton, the smell of mildew in movie theaters, and of all the lousy cats in their stinking litter boxes, of rain on city streets when the dust comes up and the old Italian men take their folding chairs inside. Up until now, it hasn't been my world, not my America, but here we are at last. The happiness that attends disaster didn't possess Desdemona for long. A few seconds later, she returned her head to her husband's chest and heard his heart beating. Lefty was rushed to the hospital. 2 days later, he regained consciousness. His mind was clear, his memory intact. But when he tried to ask whether the baby was a boy or a girl, he found he was unable to speak. According to Julie Kikuchi, beauty is always freakish. Yesterday, over strudel and coffee at Cafe Einstein, she tried to prove this to me. "Look at this model," she said, holding up a fashion magazine. "Look at her ears. They belong on a Martian." She started flipping pages. "Or look at the mouth on this one. You could put your whole head in it." I was trying to get another cappuccino. The waiters in their Austrian uniforms ignored me, as they do everyone, and outside, the yellow lindens were dripping and weeping. "Or what about Jackie O?" said Julie, still advocating. Her eyes were so wide set, they were basically on the sides of her head. She looked like a hammerhead. I'm working up with the foregoing to a physical description of myself. Baby pictures of the infant Calliope show a variety of features on the freakish side. My parents, looking fondly down into my crib, got stuck on every one. I sometimes think it was the arresting, slightly disturbing quality of my face that distracted everyone's attention from the complications below. Imagine my crib as a diorama in a museum. Press one button, and my ears light up like two golden trumpets. Press another, and my stark chin begins to glow. Another, and the high, ethereal cheekbones appear out of the darkness. So far, the effect isn't promising. On the evidence of ears, chin, and cheekbones, I might be a baby Kafka. But the next button illuminates my mouth, and things begin to improve. The mouth is small, but well-shaped, kissable, musical. Then, in the middle of the map, comes the nose. It is nothing like the noses you see in classical Greek sculpture. Here is a nose that came to Asia Minor, like silk itself, from the East. In this case, the Middle East. The nose of the diorama baby already forms, if you look closely, an arabesque. Ears, nose, mouth, chin, now eyes. Not only are they widely set, like Jackie O's, they're big. Too big for a baby's face. Eyes like my grandmother's. Eyes as big and sad as the eyes in a Keane painting. Eyes rimmed with long, dark eyelashes my mother couldn't believe had formed inside her. How had her body worked in such detail? The complexion around these eyes, a pale olive. The hair, jet black. Now press all the buttons at once. Can you see me? All of me? Probably not. No one ever really has.